This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Scott MacArthur, Dave Pullen with you. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, streaming on the TSN Go app. A little bit later on this hour, Jim McKean, former MLB umpire, Joe West, the Cowboy.
He's been around a long time.
He just umpired his 5,000th MLB game recently.
Because I followed baseball very closely at an earlier stage in my life, and I clearly remember Joe West. But I'm of the ilk that likes personalities in officials. I do.
Okay.
I really do. And I was at a very different time in my life. I had a relationship with a number of them. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to read you a list of the ones I'll see this weekend. I'm going to be hanging out with a bunch of officials this weekend.
There you go. Just don't get tossed. Don't get tossed from the golf tournament.
O-Dog will be there too. I think I'll be fine.
Don't get right. Yeah, exactly. You can just slink into the background.
They may toss O before they toss me.
It'll be all good. Well, Jim McKean will be along, former MLB umpire. Joe West gets 3 games suspended by Major League Baseball for, well, effectively talking to USA Today and doing really just a bit of a fun Q&A session. And one of the things he was asked was, who's the biggest whiner in the game? And I was stunned by his answer. Adrian Beltre, who just got his 3,000th career hit last week, this guy's a legendary ball player, kind of unheralded, but legendary almost for the great career he's had / being unheralded. Kind of gone right under the radar.
Apparently not with the referees.
Yeah, one of the great defensive third basemen of his time. So he says Adrian Beltre is a whiner, and he goes on and he gives a fun story of an exchange they have. And West effectively says, I'll paraphrase it here, this is what he told USA Today, Poole. He said, Beltre's the type of guy who, I mean, he'll take a fastball right down the heart of the plate, and he'll turn to you and say, whoa, 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 that pitch was outside. And I guess one of the things West said to him at one point was, Adrian, you may be a, and this is an exchange, umpire, hitter in the batter's box, Adrian, you may be one hell of a ball player, but you're the worst umpire in the league. And so,
see,
you know,
I'm totally okay with that.
Playful interaction.
I'm totally okay with that.
The league gives him 3 games. So I don't know. Has Joe West ever been suspended? I don't think.
I like to have conversations with the referees. And we had this. We've got a golf outing up at Laura Bay this weekend. And Bill McCreary, the former referee, is hosting it. And there'll be 4 or 5 former officials there. And the last time we did this last year, one of the people, I heard a conversation off the side, and one of the people said to Bill McCreary, what was Pooley like as someone you bantered with? And he goes, you know what? He was great at it. He'd come up beside me, and he wouldn't look at me. And he'd be taking some tape off his stick, and he'd be just ripping me. But he'd sort of have a smile on his face, and he'd be just tearing me apart. But I couldn't do anything.
See, I'm trying to figure angry Pooley out, because I can't picture it. And I'm not even saying angry Pooley necessarily, but I could see you being psychological Pooley. I like how McCreary describes it, based on what you said, which is,
it's funny because that's exactly the way I remember doing it.
You can't get yourself in trouble.
Nope.
You can say what you want to say.
Wasn't even looking at him. But
that's
just
it.
But you also knew when you could really push it. If he made a call that was a really tough call, you could push it big time at that point. And
he'd give you the leeway.
Absolutely. You knew what you could get away with. And I never got it. I never ever got a misconduct for talking, ever.
Did you? How far did you go with the language with the refs?
Pretty careful. But once again, there was a classic one with a ref where he made 2 bad calls in a row. So we were down 5-on-3, and I ripped him, and that was face to face. And it was.
You were in his grill.
I was in his grill, okay. But it wasn't demonstrating, right? You can't demonstrate. But I was close to him, and I was really giving it to him, and I was using language because I knew there's no way he was going to put us 3 men down. So I felt I had license at that point.
Right.
But I liked that. I think that was a huge part of the game. When a referee could say something to you. And I think there is a referee in the game that stands out to me as someone who's got a relationship with players right now, and that's Wes McCauley. And I think Wes today. Now, Wes's dad, John, was a famous referee and a director of officiating who died far too young and was a favorite of the players. And you could have a conversation with him. You could have a relationship with him. I think Wes McCauley has that today, and he has the respect of the players. I don't think enough do. I don't think enough referees work at it, or whether they're told not to. Kerry Fraser, I mean, we had a full, you know, born conversation about whatever you wanted to on the ice with Kerry Fraser. You were respectful. He was respectful. And all those guys, and I know them all by name. Their names were on their jerseys until very early in Big Gary Bettman's career.
Yeah, it was like early to mid-90s, right?
He took them off.
And the numbers got
but
thrown
you knew
on the
them. Back. And obviously, I'll bet you today a lot of players don't even know the names of the referees. But you knew everybody, and each one had their own distinct personality. And they really did. You know, this weekend I'm going to see Ron Asselstein, Bear. Great big guy. He was a linesman.
He was
a linesman. Yeah. Mark Vines will be up there. Billy McCreary will be up there.
Who was Svick? He was like 6'8".
He's
right? Mike Svick?
John, Civic. Mike Civic. Civic.
Yeah.
C-V-I-K.
That's why I call it.
Yeah, he's
Civic.
Still in the game.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah. He was 6'8". He was a monster. But then some of the, think of the John D'Amigos and the Ray Scapinellas of the world. Man. I mean, just classics.
Ripping around
Huck
there.
Huck Finn, ball. You know. Just, they had personalities and they were a part of the game in a positive manner. And that's the way I think about, I mean, I know a number of umpires from the day when Ron Luciano used to shoot guys. He'd take a pistol out of his pocket and shoot guys out at first base. Bang, bang, bang. You can imagine doing that today.
If you get an opportunity, I showed you this before.
Yes.
This might not be as good as Luciano, but if you have an opportunity, you're listening right now, you have an opportunity to go on YouTube a little bit later. Dutch Rennert. Dutch, obviously, spelled like it sounds. Rennert, R-E-N-N-A-R-T. A-R-T, I think. This guy would come out of his you-know-what calling a strike.
Just a strike.
He'd throw his arms up. And then he'd do
a lunge.
He'd do a lunge and throw the arm across, all while just making a horse noise.
You know what? Why would I know names of umpires? Because they were personalities?
Red Cashin, NFL. You remember the one of the oldest referees, if you go back. So he was the one holding whatever offense, blah, blah, blah. First down! Like, you remember certain... But in a positive way.
Exactly.
Whereas now, Pooley, and you know me, I'm closer to baseball than any of the sports. I can name you Angel Hernandez.
I was just going to say, but why can you name Angel Hernandez?
Vic Carapazza.
Because Angel Hernandez is always involved in something.
And these guys bait.
Mm-hmm.
And you can comment on this having played. I mean, when you are in the moment, you're on the ice, you're on the field, you're on the court, whatever. Like, you're ratcheted up to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. You're in the heat of competition. You can't have, even if you feel you're being wronged, you can't have the official getting in your grill, number one, or number two, goading you. Because you're already, you're already turned up. You're going to react. These umpires...
They know. They know the buttons.
I don't know if you remember... About a week and a half ago, the Jays had a couple of incidents in one series. I think it was against the Angels. And it was Angel Hernandez, if I'm not mistaken.
It usually is this day.
Right,
this
and he was behind the plate because the night... I'm trying to get this right. I should know this. It wasn't that long ago. But Jay Happ had it out quietly. He'd put his glove over his mouth... It was actually a ball that he was arguing, but it was a close enough pitch on a 3-2 pitch that he felt it was a strike. And so he walked toward Russell Martin to receive the ball, but he put his glove over his face and he was jawing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a bit of an incident there. But the umpire gave Happ grace because Happ is kind of a reserved, respectful, and respected guy. And they talked it out at the end of the half inning as Happ walked off the field.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, though, I think Marcus Stroman got a little frustrated. And Angel Hernandez ripped his mask off and glared right at Stroman on the mound. And I remember Russell Martin, who had also been involved in the Happ thing, took 4 or 5 steps out front of the plate, and he turned back, and the cameras caught him. You could read his lips. All he said to Angel Hernandez was, And he had the death glare. Like, there's a Russell Martin death glare. And he looked at him and he said, put your mask back on. Like, there's a player putting an umpire in his place, telling him how to behave. It's right. So different now. Yeah. And I don't know what it is. Is it because players are making gazillions of dollars? And
they've taken the identity away from a lot of officials.
The relationship is less level now monetarily than it.
Yeah, I don't know that that's the case, Scott. I really don't on a relative basis. I think it's more that not all the referees had big personalities, and some of them were very effective and very efficient without it. But the ones that did, I think that was part of the makeup of their game. And I'm trying to think, I'm really stretching my mind here to think of, I went over to an official one night, and of course I was a captain, and Keenan sent me over, and he said, tell him he's absolutely awful tonight. So I went over and I said, my coach says you're absolutely awful. And the referee said, you know, it's funny. I think he's had a terrible game coaching, just awful game coaching. And then we laughed about it, right? But that's what you could do
right
in that. And I think by removing the identity of a lot of these guys, they've taken a big part of their game away. I really do. And I think they'd rather that the generic numbers, you know, you don't know a lot of the times who guys are, and the players don't. And I think that's a big part. If a referee, just as if a player has a big personality, that's a part of a game. Well, if an official in any sport has a big personality, that should be allowed to be a big part of his game within the framework of what's going on. He doesn't become the show.
Yes, he does not do the goading.
He does not do the goading. Become the show.
Look,
Hernandez is always involved.
Yeah, and we know what the rules are in baseball. Love him or not, you argue balls and strikes.
You're out.
You're gone.
It doesn't matter what. That's a rule. That's a good rule.
No, a guy like Jay Happ got some leeway last week or a week and a half ago. Close pitch. Respected guy. Okay, fine. You let a guy have his piece.
There should be a subjective thought process.
Absolutely.
That, and there is.
Hitters in the batter's box. Jose Bautista will sometimes turn back and glare at the umpire. Some guys will not, and this is the best way to do it. Some guys won't look back. They might look straight ahead at the dugout that they're facing, or they may turn and face the pitcher and they'll mumble something.
That's the best way to do it.
And just loud enough that he can hear it, but not so obvious that the 30,000 people in the stadium and the people watching on TV don't know that you're jawing with
Don't
with
demonstrate.
Yeah, just don't.
Yeah, and it's funny, in the Dutch Renner clip that you showed, Kevin Mitchell was the batter, and the ludicrous expression, he was looking at the umpire like, okay, it's one thing you called it a strike, but look at how you're calling it
a
strike.
And that's a guy who played for the crazy 86 Mets team looking at Dutch Rennert saying, what are you, crazy?
He was a pretty resilient guy, Kevin Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, although, you know, we're digging into history here. Joe West got a three-game or three-day suspension way back in 1983 for shoving Atlanta Braves manager Joe Torre after a game on the night of June the 28th, 1983, and it was believed at the time to be the first in-season suspension of an umpire in big league history. So Cowboy Joe comes by the nickname,
so
honestly.
Wait a second. Would Joe Torre not be responsible now for the discipline for Major League Baseball?
He's the guy, yeah.
So is he coming back this many years?
Hey, look,
later?
I'm telling you this right
is
now.
Is he coming back and dinging? Is that a long memory? If Joe Torre remembers 1983 and Joe West and just dinged him for three games, that is a spectacular recall.
It's crazy that you piece that together, but I've got to think that there have been hundreds of times in between then and now that Joe Torre and Joe West have shared a field. Right? I mean, Torre managed the Cardinals for a little bit, and then he managed the Yankees for more than a
decade. If he's holding a grudge that long, I have a whole new respect for Joe Torre. I can remember we were in an exhibition game, and one of our tough guys, Dave Brown,
yes,
fought a kid named Gord Kluzak, who was a big, big draft pick, first or second overall to Boston. Who
had
derailed him, yeah. Great, great player. And he fought him. Totally unexpectedly and for no reason. And I said, Brownie, what happened there? And he looked at me and said, oh, 4 years ago in junior camp, he was really mean to me during training camp. Hold a grudge for 4 years is one thing. To hold a grudge since 1983 till 2017?
Cowboy Joe also.
34 years.
Suspended 3 years ago in September of 2014 for one game for making contact. I almost have to forgive Joe West just by looking at the guy's name, for bumping Jonathan Papelbon during an argument.
A lot of guys were cheering for that one.
Yeah, exactly. Jonathan Papelbon was not exactly... I guess you loved him if he was on your team.
So I may be in a minority, but I liked having officials with a personality. If that made them a better official, I'm all for it. And once again, I'm not calling attention to myself at the wrong time, but if that's a part of their game and they're more effective when they're doing it, that's part of their game.
The one thing that's, I think, not often considered or talked about, you'd probably know much better than me how it is in the NHL, although I would assume it's the same. I mean, these umpires, they fly commercial, and they go from city to city to city.
No home games, by the way.
There are no home games.
Or at least not 81 home games.
You do get a handful of vacation days in season. So it's not like you're slogging from April the 1st to September the 30th and then maybe into the playoffs. But you're on the grind. You're literally living out of a suitcase. You have probably experienced some travel hiccups. You've probably had some early morning flights, Dave, after a late extra inning game the night before. You got to go from city to city. I can see where some guys would have short fuses. I don't doubt that. And, you know, you get a little emotional. You lose your head a little bit. You start looking at that pompous jackass who's making $10 million, who just flew a charter into the same city that you had to make a connection through Newark just to get to early in the, you know, you can see how that might all build up sometimes. I maybe it is just a little bit generational, and
it might be
all that,
you know,
stuff too.
I had the opportunity to we're not going to break here quite yet.
No.
So I had an opportunity in Philadelphia to get to know Eric Gregg, the legendary umpire, who died far too young.
He died
in 2006, I believe he passed away. He was capable of going north of like 350, 375.
I would, if he tipped at four at times,
it wouldn't surprise me. So we worked out with, you know, the legendary conditioning coach, Pat Croce, who went on to be an owner with the 76ers and a team president. And when he started his conditioning places, of course, Eric Gregg was from Philadelphia, so at least a couple of times this summer, Major League Baseball would send Eric home because he'd gotten just a little bit too large. And they'd send him home to Pat Croce to work out. We had our morning workout group. So they'd send Eric in, and Eric would come in. And this was a big man, Scotty. So I said to him one day, Eric, man, you got to look after yourself. You know, you're out there in the hot sun. I said, what is your schedule like? And he said, Dave, I got to tell you, I get up at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Which is the dream.
And I have a big, big breakfast at the hotel. Then I go into the park about 3 o'clock, and they got a great big spread there for the umpires before the game. It's great. And then after the game, they got a great big spread there. It's great. Then I go back to the hotel, and I have a couple of beers, and, you know, I might have something to eat. Next morning, I get up at 11 o'clock. And I got a big, big breakfast. I just started laughing. I go, okay, I get the routine, Eric. You're eating at least four times a day.
And they don't sound like they're small plates. You're not nibbling.
No, it was the big, big spread. But wonderful, wonderful man. But we had these same conversations with Eric because he had a big personality. He demonstrated on the field. He was, you know, he liked to punch guys out at first base. And you can imagine some of the comments that might come back to him.
Yeah.
But he was a real free spirit and a real fun-loving guy and an excellent umpire. He umpired in World Series. He was a terrific umpire. But we talked about that personality piece of it because he would ask me questions about NHL referees and, you know, can you talk to them? Do you have some of them you can, some of them you can't? But, you know, the good ones I felt you could always talk to.
Yeah. Well, we'll get Jim McKean on. I'm interested.
We could ask him these questions about what his thoughts are.
Absolutely. And
World Series umpire about personality and what his thoughts are.
What's the relationship now compared to back when he was in his heyday? We can even get into some of the quick pitch stuff because that is a lot of what is driving the, I don't want to say furor, that's probably too harsh a word, but that's a lot of what's driving some of the angst around the game with Marcus Stroman, right? The varying of his pitching delivery. And there's these unwritten rules in baseball.
Yeah, well, if they're unwritten, they're unwritten. Well, exactly. I'm quick pitching.
Exactly. But that's the thing with baseball and all this stuff. You have them in hockey, too, Dave. It's, look, if a team is stealing signs, they're stealing your signs. Switch your signs. Stop complaining about some guy in a white jacket sitting in the outfield working for the Blue Jays.
Switch your signs.
Switch your signs. If you have a pitcher who's messing with your timing as a hitter because he's varying his delivery.
With his timing as a pitcher.
Call for time.
Yeah.
And that's what the White Sox were doing a couple of starts ago for Marcus Stroman, and it was frustrating each side both ways. Mm-hmm. But there's a role the umpire plays in that. When a hitter calls time, do you grant him the time or not? Because if Stroman started his delivery, but he's delaying his delivery,
if I'm an umpire in that exact situation, I say to the hitter, I'm not granting you time. And the next time Stroman's coming off the field, I said, look, I didn't give him time, clean it up. Because I will give him time every time he asks for it, unless you clean it up.
Right.
Does that not solve the problem?
You'd think.
That communication isn't always there. And once again, that might be too pie in the sky to want that communication. But I wanted it from a referee. I wanted to be told what I could and couldn't do.
Yeah, don't surprise me. You know, don't blindside me with a
the good guys, you knew how they were going to call a game. You went into the game and you knew what you were going to get.
All right, Jim McKean, former MLB umpire, will join us at 5:30. We've got Steve Phillips, TSN Blue Jays insider, coming up at 6:30. We'll replay for you in the top of the 6 o'clock hour our chat with Bruce McNall.
Yeah, fascinating conversation.
29 years since the Edmonton Oilers shipped Wayne Gretzky.
I'm still rattled that he tried to trade for me.
I'm still wondering whether he was just saying something nice to you.
It was so quick. I loved it.
You would have made sense on that team, though. You know, you would have been a two-way centerman. Could have been a second or third-line centerman on that Kings team. Who knows?
I'd have been happily at three.
Yeah. You'd be living in L.A. Where'd you...
Changing lives, right?
Where would you live? Newport Beach? Redondo?
They all live in Manhattan Beach, right?
Manhattan Beach.
That's where they all live. Oh. There are worse places to be.
Yeah, so. Trust me. I can wax.
Look at you shaking your
head. I can wax poetic about all those trips to. I don't care. Northern California, Southern California. When I was doing the Blue Jays,
did you hang in Manhattan Beach when you were? Would you go down there?
Well, see,
that's where all the hockey guys hung out.
Nah, see, because the problem was, you know, the great thing about baseball travel is when you go somewhere, you're there for three or four days.
Yeah.
The problem with baseball travel is you got a damn game every day or every night.
The crosses you bear, my friend.
So it limits what you could do, but we'd always swing down. Richard Griffin, longtime Toronto Star columnist and 1050 contributor, he had a place in Laguna Beach.
Nice.
Because he used to be the Expos PR guy.
Right.
So back in the day, you'd start in San Diego and you'd make your way north to San Francisco, stopping in L.A. to play the Dodgers. And he would always jump in a car with Larry Walker, Mark Gardner, maybe one or two others. And they would drive from San Diego to L.A., and they would always stop at Las Brisas on Laguna Beach.
Nice.
And so every year we'd go down. Often the Jays would play the night games in Anaheim, and then if we were there for a Sunday, it'd be an early game. So we would always try and hit up a lunch. 30, 40 minutes, depending on traffic, from Anaheim to Laguna Beach. So we'd swing down, go through the Laguna Canyon out to the beach. And, man, I mean...
You're shaking your head.
Oh, God. I can tell you this right now, Pooley. If you're looking for me when I'm 70 years old for some reason, you'll know where to find me. Then again, you'll be like 90, 95.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
We can hang out together, play bridge, something like that. All right, Jim McKean, former MLB umpire, will be up next. Stay with us, Overdrive, TSN 1050, and the TSN Go app. Scott MacArthur and Dave Bullen, it's Overdrive, TSN 1050, and the TSN Go app. Bruce McNall at the top of the 6 o'clock hour, 29 years ago today. The Kings got Wayne Gretzky from the Oilers and effectively created the phrase, if Gretzky can be traded, anybody can be traded. 6:30, Steve Phillips, TSN, Blue Jays and MLB insider, will join us. We're going to be welcoming Jim McKean, former MLB umpire, to the program in just a second. So, Pooley, Major League Baseball at the end of August is going to have a weekend where players can put whatever they want, as long as it's not vulgar, on the back of their jersey in place of their last names.
Why?
Well, do you remember Vince McMahon in the NFL? Or XFL?
Remember? Which begs even more, why?
I'm trying to think. What would Dave Poulin put on the back of his bright orange Philadelphia Flyers road jersey?
Well, do you remember the Poulin chainsaw commercials?
No.
Okay, so there was a chainsaw called Poulin, P-O-U-L-A-N.
Okay.
And they would pronounce the name a whole bunch of different ways. So in college, the announcer, Mike Collins, used to do the basketball games. You know how they would hoop up baskets. He decided that he would say goal by number 15, the chainsaw, Dave Poulin. And the whole other team would look at you and say, we're going to kill you. I'd be like, I didn't tell him to say that.
Yeah.
So I was a chainsaw through college. I've had a few nicknames, but that might have to be what I would put in the back of my jersey. But still, why? Just for entertainment's sake?
Well, here's the thing.
They're going to auction them off for charity.
You would hope so. The thing is it's not a game. It's a weekend. So you're going to have 3 days.
Do you get to change it if you're not, like if you go 0-for on Friday night, can you change it from the chainsaw to moose or something? Like,
well, I think these things have to be cleared by Major League Baseball. I just don't think you can go off on a tangent here, Pooley.
So what do you think we're going to see? Like, is it as simple as Joey Bats? Or
I think you could see Joey Bats if Joey Bats is in the mood. What are we going to get from Stroman? Are we going to get Stroh-Show?
Stroh-Show.
Nope.
Oh, wait.
Are we going to get the branding? HDMH. Number sign, hashtag, HDMH.
Oh, yeah, that's what you're going
to Marcus is a brand, man. He's a business. He'll be thinking about this. Stroh-Show's the nickname, but the brand.
Does Bringer of the Rain fit on the back of a jersey?
I think it...
Elbow to elbow?
I think it... Well, if Saltalamacchia could fit.
I was trying to think of the longest name that I could come up with.
If they could get Saltalamacchia on a jersey, kind of like a rainbow around the number.
Elbow to elbow, baby.
They could do it. Smoke? What would Justin Smoke... I don't know. He's kind of one of those southern fun-loving guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of directions. I'm trying to think if you went with a nickname or a, you know, what would be inevitably a nickname.
Well, remember, the one I remember from the XFL, He Hate Me.
He Hate Me.
Remember, Rod Smart or something like that. I mean, if he had a cup of coffee in the NFL or CFL,
so what,
I don't remember.
What is the genesis of this, though?
Well, the genesis is here.
A fun weekend?
Let's sell some jerseys.
Yeah.
You know, it's really no different than what the Blue Jays do now, where they have their home Reds on Sundays. This went from a Canada Day thing to a two-day-a-year thing where you had Canada Day and Canada Baseball Day,
right,
which gave them a second excuse to wear those red jerseys that they could then sell in the gift shop, to now, okay, well, we're going to wear red tops at home every home Sunday throughout the course of the season. So I think it's just another opportunity to do a jersey set.
Well, for those that don't follow minor league hockey, the American Hockey League does a spectacular job with jerseys during warm-ups.
Yes. Like
they'll have totally different jerseys auctioned off to charities on an individual. They do a great job with that on a number of times during the course of the year. If you went down to see the Marlies play during warm-up, they'll have a totally different jersey on.
Yeah. I know,
for entertainment purposes.
I think junior hockey teams do it too. Yeah, I think Kingston Frontenac's paying homage to Don Cherry, right, the hometown kid. They'll, you know, dress up a jersey in one of his suit patterns.
They had hip jerseys, I think, at one point, too, the Frontenac did.
Yeah. And that, of course, is real timely. Bruce McNall and Steve Phillips in the 6 o'clock hour. But Joe West, Cowboy Joe West, who very recently umpired his 5,000th career Major League Baseball game.
We have to do a little homework. Tyler, could you do a little homework on exactly how many, where that would put him all time? Like 5,000?
It's got to be the longest tenured and, you know, leads among active umpires.
You casually talk about an on-field beef with Joe Torre in 1983. Like, you just chuck that out there like, okay, that was 34 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Joe West was doing this when I was in diapers, pretty much. So he's been around.
Thanks, because I was a rookie in the NHL that year. You had a really good rookie season that year.
You were in your own set of diapers at that time.
Might have 30 goals that year.
Somebody who would know Joe West real well. Anyway, West has been suspended for three games because in a conversation with USA Today, tied around his 5,000th MLB game umpired, he was asked casually, who's the biggest whiner in the sport? And he said Adrian Beltre and went on to give a fun story, and somehow that turned into a three-game suspension. Somebody who would know Joe well is Jim McKean, a former MLB umpire, and he joins us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Jim, thanks for taking some time. How are you today?
I'm doing terrific, thank you.
It's great to have you on. So your reaction to Joe getting a three-game suspension over what, you know, I took, having read the piece, as just a fun jab and an honest answer to a fun question.
Well, I totally agree. There might be some underlying things that we all don't know. It's hard to believe that they would suspend him for three games for doing something like that. Joe and I sort of had similar careers. I was his instructor at umpire school, so you guys are talking about diapers and how far back I go. And he's always been a very consistent umpire, but he's had that nickname Cowboy, and sometimes he has to act like the good old cowboy he is. But he has done 5,000 games, and, you know, you have to give anybody credit for that. And I just think they had was really nothing. I mean, you guys might recognize a couple of names that I sort of dealt with the Earl Weavers and the Billy Martins and Lou Piniellas and people like that, where we really put shows on. Bill Ralph Houck with the San Diego Chicken, all sorts of things that really gave the crowd quite a sting. And this was just a little thing, and Joe wasn't even involved with the moving of that batting circle. That was Jerry Davis that ejected him for that. And I can promise you guys, and I'm sure you guys have heard, there's been a lot worse said than that in pro sports. And the only thing that would concern me, and this didn't happen, if there was any contact. There was no contact at all. It was just verbal back and forth. And that goes on in all sports. I'm sure, you know, you guys are big hockey guys, and so am I, you know, being down here with the lighting. And this goes on in every sport. So three games is pretty extensive. He is, I think, the president of the umpires union. I don't know if they wanted to make an example of what it is, but I will tell you one thing. Anytime they have a World Series Game 7 or a playoffs Game 5, the guy that's working a plate in those games is Joe West. So they have a lot of confidence in Joe West.
Jim, where were you personally in your own style in terms of interaction with players, and how much has that changed in today's game and in what you can or can't do?
Well, that has really changed. The only thing is, and you guys know with doing the show, the social media is really tough. I mean, you know, we didn't have all those papers and people looking for stories. We had the same regular guys that we saw all the time, and, you know, sometimes we'd even go out to dinner with them and stuff like that, and we could say things to them. But the only thing is, it sounded like Joe was interviewed. And this was just Joe's way of saying, you know, something that he thought was funny. And I guess Major League Baseball didn't. But I don't quite, from what I'm reading, and I'm sure what you guys are seeing, I don't quite understand it. There's been a whole lot worse than that said. Obviously, whether it be out on the field or behind a mask and home plate, but again, we haven't said this to the press. Joe put this out to the press, and it went to USA. Of course, that goes all over the country, and away we go.
You know, I'm one that is all for interaction between the players and the referees, and I had a great relationship with a number of referees. And I didn't like it all when the NHL took the names off the jerseys. It was like they were trying to take the personalities away from the referees. And I think if that's a part of your successful makeup, you should be allowed as an umpire to have a personality.
You know, I totally agree with you. We went from nothing. We had nothing to numbers. You know, they used to put numbers up on the board rather than names. And I definitely agree with you. I mean, when I umpired, there was a ton of personalities out there. You know, John McSherry, who weighed, you know, 300 and whatever pounds, and Joe West and Dutch Renner, who had the big voice with the strike call. And, you know, we all had our own little deal. You know, I called a lot of strikes in and out. Eric Gray called a lot. Everybody had something we would do different, but we were all known. The players didn't mind it. You know, the players had their identity, too. There was no problem there. And I still will tell you that the umpires weren't the show. You know, the players were the show. They were the ones that were putting on the show. Now, we did get into it, and we did put on we did put on our own shows, and the people really appreciated. I mean, I can remember players and managers getting standing ovations after huge arguments, and now what you're looking at is instant replay, which is ridiculous. And hockey's done such a great job of just dropping the puck and continuing the action. I think they've done a great job. And the only thing that I would be against would be contact with the official, whether it be a player, you know, or an umpire or whatever it is. You just can't have contact. But the rest of the verbal stuff, that's all part of the game.
With Jim McKean, a former MLB umpire, you're listening to Overdrive with Scott MacArthur, Dave Poulin, TSN 1050, streaming us on the TSN Go app. So, Jim, you're behind the plate on a given day. And before you arrive at the park, you look and you say, all right, Lou Piniella's team is coming to town, and they've lost 6 in a row.
Right.
Do you anticipate the possibility of something happening based off a scenario like that? And if so, if something happens relatively early in the game, do you understand then that this is as much about grandstanding and causing a scene to divert attention from his own team's bad play type thing?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we know if teams have lost 4 in a row, lost the homestand or something like this, we're going to go out there. We know we're going to get a little more heat from that team. And I would tell the guys I'm working with, hey, listen, we got to back off a little bit. I mean, we can't let it get out of control and too aggressive. We got to give them a little rope because everybody's on edge. Yes, absolutely. I would definitely give them a little rope. Now, you can't let the game get out of control. And, you know, both teams know that. I mean, I know when I come into town, if the Blue Jays or the Bruins or whoever is in a big losing streak, you know they're not going to be happy. And that's what good officiating is all about.
What was your best umpire, manager, or umpire-player showdown? Which is the one you look back on? Maybe in the heat of the moment it wasn't so pleasant, but you look back now and you have a good laugh at it.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I had two incidents with mascots, and I had one there right in Toronto. I threw Blue Jay Birdie out of the game.
Was that at the X or the Dome?
No, that was at, let me just see. No, that was at the Dome.
Okay.
And quickly what had happened was I was working second base. Cito Graston was the manager for the Blue Jays, and there was a ball hit deep in the center field. And the center fielder turned his back on me, and I couldn't get a real good angle because it was so far. And it looked like he caught the ball, but it actually bounced off the wall. Then he caught it, and I called it an out. And, of course, Cito came out nice and slow, and I'm talking to Cito back and forth. He's been very nice. And then he says, take a look around. Even Birdie thought you missed it. And he is up on the wall, and he's waving no, you know, no catch, no catch, no catch. Well, I went absolutely berserk, and I hit it out for the wall, and I checked at him. By the time I got back, I was so mad at Cito for telling me the bird was out there, and I got him too. So I got two in a row right there, and that was a mascot. That sort of went all over the country. And the other one, quickly, I'll tell you guys, it's sort of funny. I got the San Diego Chicken in Texas one night. Ralph Houck was the manager, and he hated mascots, and we had an argument at first base. And we, for some reason, in those days, the mascot was allowed on the field. Of course, that ended after a couple incidents. So the San Diego Chicken got in the middle of the argument, and I told Ralph to turn around. I said, look who's behind you. He saw that San Diego Chicken, and he went completely berserk. And the argument ended up with the mascot and Ralph, and I'm trying to break it up. And it's supposed to be with me and Ralph. So I've had my days with the mascot, so it's lots of fun.
No.
And that's just one of many, guys. After 30 years, I don't even know where to start.
Jim, I can remember a bunch of names, whether it's Jim McKean, whether it's Dutch Rennert, whether it's Red Cashin in the NFL.
I'll throw Ron Luciano in there.
Ron Luciano.
Yeah.
And I remember you guys for your personalities, Ken Kaiser, another one that comes to mind. But in this day and age, I think of Angel Hernandez, Vic Carapazza, and some others, and I don't have the positive identification that I had with the characters from the past. Do you?
I totally agree with you, and I've worked with all those guys, obviously, except Red Cashin, and we really enjoyed it. We did some funny things. And I don't want to get into these crazy stories, but I remember working in Sarasota in spring training, and Ron Luciano was working first base. And he said he was thirsty, and I was working behind the plate, and he went over and got a drink right in the middle of the game, and he's holding his drink, and it was a play in left center field, and he's running across the field with a Coke in his hand. You know, stuff like that. You just, You just don't see that. You have to. And Dutch Renner with the big voice, not even looking at the pitch, he just swung around and called it a strike. Didn't even know where it was. As long as they heard him yell, they figured it was good. And, you know, all those guys, Vic Ken Kaiser, you know, pro wrestler. And I remember one day we were in the locker room in Toronto, and here comes Mosca, and him and Mosca got into it in the locker room just for fun, because Kaiser said he was a wrestler. So I told Mosca was coming in, and him and Mosca were wrestling around. I mean, all that kind of stuff. They're just cookie cutters today, and that's the guess the way they want it. And I think because of replay, I would have loved to umpire today. I could umpire for 50 years because there's no arguments except at home plate. There's none at third, second, or first. And the thing that bothers me is the manager come out and hold their hand up, and then they look. There's some monkey in a room looking at an instant replay. That just kills me. I just can't stand it. I don't know if I could put up with it, and I don't know a lot of. I think that's why Joe West gets so upset at everything that's going on, because it's very frustrating. And it's not fun for the people. I mean, the games, they say, well, geez, the games are too long. Well, no wonder. I mean, it's pretty easy to figure out.
We can't lose the human aspect of the game.
Right, and they're talking about trying to call balls and strikes with machines and stuff like that. That's ridiculous.
Thanks for this, Jim. I hope we can talk again soon. Great stories. Appreciate your time.
Guys, anytime. Nice talking to you.
That's great. Jim McKean, former MLB umpire. You know, I was about to think or say, and then he kind of came around to it. He dodged, because I was going with Carapaz and Hernandez. I was going to ask the question, you know, are they a little different today?
He stepped back.
But he stepped back. He told some great stories. Fantastic stuff. Hour number three of Overdrive. TSN2 will join us on the TV side. Steve Phillips, Blue Jays insider for TSN at 6:30. And we'll replay for you Bruce McNall, former Kings owner, 29 years ago today. The Kings acquired Wayne Gretzky from the Edmonton Oilers. We'll take you through that deal from start to finish with Bruce McNall right at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. This is Overdrive. Scott MacArthur, Dave Poulin, TSN 1050, and the TSN Go app. Scott MacArthur, Dave Poulin, it's Overdrive on TSN 1050, streaming us on the TSN Go app. And our thanks once again to former MLB umpire Jim McKean, who joined us on the Maple Toyota hotline. Red Tag Days are on now with 0% financing and lease rates on the Toyota Corolla and RAV4. Visit mapletoyota.ca. So we figured out earlier on in the show, Bruce McNall, of course, will be our guest at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. We'll replay that interview for you. 29 years ago, Wayne Gretzky became an L.A. King, that it's Dave Poulin who's at the nexus of the universe with all
apparently
this.
Apparently, 29 years ago, I almost became a king, too, according to Bruce McNall.
You've talked about this in commercial breaks as well. It's like you're going, what could have been? I'm a second-line or third-line centerman on a Gretzky team. I'm telling you, they could have used a guy like you.
Yeah, it might have fit.
You might have... He might have beaten the Leafs in
he was
quicker
really
than seven
quick,
games.
He tried to trade for me.
You never know.
Well, that was a quick answer by him.
Yeah, because we're talking quickly here, and we got to be out in 40 seconds. But you'd lost in 85 and 87 to Gretzky's Oilers in the Cup Final with the Flyers. And then in 90, post-Gretzky, you lost to Messier's Oilers with the Bruins
and
in the Cup Final.
And a combination of the players traded for Gretzky and traded for Jimmy Carson,
who was
all
in the Gretzky
wrapped into that. Peter Klima, you know, Joe Murphy, Adam Graves, Martin Jelena all played great against the Bruins in 1990.
If this Crazy. Were 2017, Peter Klima's helmet would have had its own Twitter account. Bruce McNall, former Kings owner, will join us to kick off the 6 o'clock hour of Overdrive. Stay with us, TSN 1050. You're streaming us on the TSN Go app.